Welcome to Game Store Profits, where we talk about God, gaming, and groups. I'm your host, Daniel, along with my co-host, Jeff Romo. How you doing today, Jeff?
Well, I'm doing super fantastic, Daniel, and I'm really excited to be here. I gotta tell you, the crowd is looking lively tonight. I can see people in the front row ready to toss popcorn and or tomatoes.
Well, you know, today it's brought to you by Roma Tomatoes. Guys, when you want a good plump tomato, you want to eat Roma Tomatoes.
That's fantastic, Daniel. Let's tone down and talk about games before we get kicked off the show.
Okay. But I did want to talk about dinner tonight. What did, you know, we have to talk about this because whenever Mike's not here, we do talk about a recipe of sorts. And tonight, I made fried tilapia.
So, hey, yes. Fantastic.
I love tilapia, and what I do is I lightly flour it with some seasoning, throw it in a pan of oil, let it lightly fry, and I also made baked sweet potatoes and fried green beans.
Now, you know, it's not always a fish that you go with when you have game night. I'll say that, and, you know, this is for our audience out there. Take it from Uncle Jeff. You don't want to be frying up some fish when you're bringing the gang over for games and such, because you know, that'll probably be the talk of the table, is the smell and not the game.
And the recipe everybody's going to be wondering about is the fried green bean. So what you do is you take your old-fashioned flat green beans and you fry it in lard. That's what you do. You put lard in your pan and you fry them with salt, pepper, and onions, and you're good. And that's it, guys. Let's talk about games now. So what have you been into, Jeff?
Let's switch over. Well, man, you know, now that at the time we're recording this, in my time local, it's about 5:30, so it's about dinner time, so now I'm hungry. Aside from that, number one, aside from being having a mechanical failure on my side of the microphone last time we tried recording, yeah, other than that, doing fantastic. I have been kind of quiet on the game front, to be honest.
Oh, no.
Last time we were going to record, I was going to do a quick little synopsis of what we did for the one-shots when we finished that up with Dungeons & Dragons. And had a fantastic time with that. I'll be finishing up recording this week, so as that this time the episode drops, you'll probably already have the videos available on our YouTube channel. So press pause and go and check that out and then come right back. But in any case, that's been kind of my game life, mostly, was finishing that up and then preparing for a Halloween special.
Yay.
I'll talk about that a little bit later. How about you?
Well, I haven't got to play a lot lately. I have been painting miniatures and terrain like nobody's business.
Oh, man, I've been seeing shots of that. It looks really good.
Thank you. That stuff I've 3D printed off of Thingiverse. I did the caverns one that I posted that I finished up painting yesterday. Not the lava cavern, but the standard caverns were actually, I did mod a few of those files because the pack didn't have a lot of the files that I wanted for it, but it turned out pretty good. I think it's pretty good. So, and I repainted all my dungeon stuff today, so it took me a better part of 6 hours. So it's downstairs, clear coat's drying on it in the basement. So.
Well, if you kids haven't checked out the tavern lately, if you head in there, you'll see some posts from our esteemed Daniel Fisher of some of the work he's been doing, because, wow, it's really nicely detailed. Really nicely detailed.
Well, my thing is, my daughter's getting to that age where her friends are wanting to try gaming because they're nerds, and I need to, the thing is, though, my daughter comes to me and says, Dad, hey, this is a conversation that we've already had, but she has not scheduled the time with her friends. Hey, will you run us a game? She said that. And the thing with me is I want to make this game as special as possible. So that when these girls, because it's going to be a room full of little girls that are like 11 and 12 years old coming over and playing Savage Worlds, fantasy, high fantasy. You know, they're going to come over and play this game, and I'm just going to make it so special for them that they're like, hey, let's do this again. Hey, let's go buy our own books. Hey, let's learn how to play our own game. You know, I'm raising a new generation here, and I'm trying to make it as good for them as I possibly can. I kind of lean towards things that, like, Gary Gygax did with his kids. When he designed D&D the first time, his playtesters was Luke and Ernie, and I can't remember his daughter's name, but these kids are like 7, 8, 9. That was first edition. You know, OD&D. I mean, you know, we get Tensor from Ernie. I mean, Tensor's floating disk. That was Ernie's character. And, I mean, they had the huge sand table and his kids played, you know? And that's what I want, so.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, and the other thing, too, is, like, when you get them involved that early, I gotta say, it's a good thing, not just if they continue playing the game or they don't continue playing games like this. It's a good thing for imagination in general. Getting them to think abstractly, getting them to think outside of the box, that sort of stuff. It makes a big difference, I think, in a child's life. While I don't have kids, I haven't been blessed with that miracle, but I have been having a great time over the last few years teaching children in our Bible study. It's when you start kind of working in a little bit of the rolling dice and a little bit of the D&D or something relatively close to that imagination related. It helps. Oh, really yeah. Does.
They really like it, too.
Now, you may look around, and those who are listening can listen around, and we could try and find out, well, where's Mike? What's happened to Mike? It's a little bit of penance, right?
Yeah, it's a little freeing. I'm just kidding, Mike. Mike's not feeling well today, guys. And, you know, me and Jeff, we kind of do get a little sidetracked when Mike's not here. We talk a little bit more about role-playing, and I talk a little bit more about dice and miniatures and things like that than just straight-up board games.
It's not necessarily we're hijacking the game. It's that we're just saying, you know, well, we'll bring up a few topics here and there. I have a feeling, I have this distinct feeling that at some point during this episode, we're going to be able to sit back and say, future Mike, why don't you take it from here?
So this is what I get for letting you guys run the podcast without me? Hey kids, future Mike here with a little bit of update about me, about Inroads, and about the games I've been playing. For those of you who aren't in the tavern or don't follow me on Facebook, I have recently come down with what I'm lovingly referring to as Mysterious Illness Alpha. Based on when I talked to people about it, the opinions of other people have basically ranged from, I think you just have a bad case of the flu, to maybe you have Lyme's disease. So I got that going for me. And basically, I'm going to be spending some time getting really friendly with some doctors to try and figure out what this is. But the good news is that at the moment, at least, I'm feeling pretty good. And so I wanted to come and talk to you guys about various things. Before I get into the games that I've been playing, I do have a couple news things that I want to get out real quick because I want to make sure that these things come across to you guys, especially because some of them are very time sensitive. Speaking of, Save Against Fear is literally happening the upcoming weekend from when this goes live. So if you want to go and support the Bodana Group, who use role-playing games and board games in clinical situations and therapeutic situations and developmental situations, go check it out. It's going to be a fun event. I'm really sad that I couldn't get to it this year, but again, health stuff. So hopefully next year I'll be able to be in attendance, but even if I can't be there, I'm hoping that some of you guys can and go out and represent the regulars community over there at Save Against Fear. In other convention news, Sean is going to be at the South Jersey Geek Fest, and like an idiot, when I started recording this, I did not look up all the details about South Jersey Geek Fest. I know it's coming up at the end of the month, but because I love a beautiful segue, I will say that there's a way that you can know about it because Sean has put up on our meetup.com page a event about being at SJ Geek Fest. Meetup.com, in case you don't know, which I don't know why you wouldn't if you're listening to a board gaming podcast, meetup.com is a way for people to connect basically over various interests and everything like that, and it is a hugely powerful way to get people together to game. Inroads has a meetup.com account, and if you are in the New Jersey area, because right now Sean and I are pretty much the only administrators of the group, if you're in the local New Jersey, Pennsylvania, maybe occasionally New York area, you'll see events that we're running there on our meetup. And you can find all the information there and hopefully join us somewhere where you guys can actually play with us and be at the same table. If you're not in that area, there is still a lot of cool reasons to be on meetup.com. You can actually put an event on our site and kind of try and apply to have your post be on our group and on the Inroads Ministries regulars meetup page. What that does is basically Sean or I will approve it, and anybody that's in the group can see that. So even if you're not local, you can still put up events. Also, when we end up going to conventions, we're going to be putting up meetups. So probably when you start seeing us at events that we're hoping to be at next year, like DexCon, and you know, we'll probably end up doing SJ Geek Fest again, provided Sean comes back with a good report. We're going to be at Origins. All these different events are going to have meetups on the site. So if you're planning on going to any of those conventions, it might be a good way to connect with us. In another event that's going to have both local and long-distance ramifications, Extra Life 2016 is coming up on November 5th from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. November 6th. For those of you who might not know, welcome to the site, because you're probably new. We've been doing Extra Life for, this will be our fourth year doing Extra Life and participating with that. It's a 24-hour gaming fundraiser marathon kind of thing. They work with Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Our team specifically sponsors Children's Specialized Hospital here in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We've been able to raise just about $4,300, I believe is our total, to date for the hospital. And we were so close to breaking $2,000 raised at last year's event. That is our team goal this year. There's only one way we can get that, and that's if you guys support us. You can either join up where you are. You don't have to be at our local event, which is going to be hosted by the fine folks at Long Hill Chapel in Chatham, New Jersey. You can definitely come and play with us if you're in that area. But if you're not, last year we had people who were streaming video games. We had people that had created local game sessions themselves. Or maybe you even want to just play solo games. As long as you're willing to join the team and raise money to support these kids who are in long-term hospital care, which means they could be spending anywhere from a week or a month at a time at the hospital. If you're willing to raise money and support those kids, we want you on the team. If you can't be on the team but would like to help us as we help these kids, we would love it if you would go to the Inroads Ministries team page, and I will put that up on the podcast notes when this goes live. And take any of our team members and support them. It's real simple, real easy. It takes pretty much seconds to get that donation taken care of. And it really goes a long way to help a lot of kids. You will be seeing, now that we have the location nailed down, you'll be seeing a post on our site just about Extra Life and how you can help as well. Feel free to look at what we've got going on there. Lastly, because of the illness and some other stuff, Numenera Rebirth had kind of gotten a little bit of a postponement. I'm hoping that it'll happen in the very near future. I've pretty much got my players nailed down, and I'm hoping that everything will go smoothly, and we will get that video started up very soon with episode 0, as well as a short little brief thing by me about what Numenera is about, and a little bit kind of to introduce you to our change of DM. Normally Jeff's been doing this, but I'm going to be running this, so I kind of want to do a very brief, hey, this is how my DM style is different than Jeff's kind of video. So hopefully that will be coming up soon as well. So let's talk about games, shall we? Apparently the other guys want to talk about food and other nonsense. I'm here to talk about games. I got to play Viceroy with my wife. I was very happy to play that. If you don't know what Viceroy is, the short version is that you bid various multicolored gems to get characters from a kind of collective pool in the middle of the table. These guys will help you get various things. They'll either get you more gems to get more people. They'll get you more cards, which are always in short supply. They might get you bonus points. They might get you kind of tools that make it easier for you to just get what you need to get. And what you do is you actually play them in kind of a pyramid, because the cards themselves have these gems on it in the top corners and the bottom of them. And what you're trying to do is build them up, because the higher up the pyramid, the cooler the stuff they give you. And if in the course of building them in the pyramid, you match all the same color, that gives you bonuses. Like a lot of games like this, it's kind of just a point salad. You are doing all sorts of different things to get points at the end of the game. But none of them are altogether confusing. It's all pretty simply laid out. I would definitely recommend it. It's a really nice, really easy pickup. And again, It's one of the few games that my wife will voluntarily want to play and has even asked if we can play it without any kind of prompting for me. So that, in my book, is high praise. I also got to play Reflections, which is a recent Kickstarter. It hasn't officially been released yet. It hasn't completely gone through fulfillment. But the guys behind it were actually very cool and said, look, all the pretty pictures are still coming together. We're still looking for some of the alternate scenarios, but we have the basic text of the game, so we're going to send it to you guys. So Brent, myself, and apparently a bunch of you guys in the tavern all got in on it, which I'm not surprised. It seems really cool, and it was a very cheap pickup on Kickstarter. And Brent and I were like, look, we want to kick the tires on this one. So one day we got on Skype and played. The short version. You are basically playing two people who are in a duel to the death. In the original base scenario, you are samurai, and you create this tension of the duel to begin with. You say, like, who you are, what, you know, just you're talking in vague terms, like, what happened, where are you fighting? And then you pretty much live out in brief scenes the lives of these two people. And much kind of like Fiasco, if you're successful in pulling off whatever goal you had decided, you get dice towards your dice pool at the end of the game. And if you're not successful, you get what's called hatred. I'll explain the difference between those two in a second. But you're basically going through flashbacks through these guys' lives, how they became friends, you know, what started a rift in the friendship, what was the straw that broke the camel's back, how did they try to get peace together, and then finally, like, how did they get to the point where they're literally going to kill each other. This game is fantastic, and it all comes down to one dice roll. All the dice that you get for doing various goals of various difficulties get into your little pool to roll at this last duel. Any hatred you have the option at the end of the game to say whether or not you put away your hatred or you embrace your hatred. If you put away your hatred, you're just rolling your basic die. There's no real penalty to it, but there's no real bonus to it. If you decide to embrace your hatred, you get to roll all the dice in your normal pool as well as all the dice in your hatred pool. But here's the thing. You can never be higher than whatever your highest value is on hatred. So even if on your basic dice you're rolling sixes across the board, if you roll a two on your hatred dice, two is the highest number you're rolling. And that's especially true because the one who wins the duel is the one who has the most die that have the highest value. For instance, I rolled two sixes, so that became the die to beat. At the beginning of the game, Brent and I looked at each other and said, this is the rule, what happens if somebody ties, but it really seems, based on the mechanics, that it will be really difficult to tie. We tied, and both our characters, who were these adoptive brothers who were basically spent their entire lives manipulating each other or being manipulated and seething with hatred and being this cold, obnoxious, you know, just jerk of a man, were in this duel. And my guy basically said, look, I don't want to kill you, but I will if I must. And Brent's character basically said, I will see you burn for this. And we tied. He rolled two sixes as well. We ended up ripping up both character sheets because this game has a lot of cool rituals. Like when your character dies, you're supposed to rip up the character sheet and hand it to the other person as a trophy. I took this really cool shot of both of our sheets being ripped up and both of our men dead on the gravestone of the emperor. It was a really cool moment. We're probably going to end up making a video of this for our channel, but I don't know when that's going to happen because I'm already behind schedule on my recordings, but it's really a good game. I don't know what the release is going to be like, but if you can get your hands on Reflections, definitely do it. The highlight of my last weekend was going down to basically a shore town here in New Jersey called Little Egg Harbor, and I went to go teach my buddy how to play D&D. This has been brewing for years. He and his family used to live in Jakarta, Indonesia, when Inroads was just getting started, and he's like, man, I really want to learn how to play D&D. I've heard about it, but I know nothing about the game, but I really want to play it. It was impossible because he was literally on the other side of the planet with a 12-hour time difference. However, at the beginning of this year, he and his family moved to New Jersey. And so we've been trying to orchestrate when this is going to happen, and it finally did. I got to teach him and four of his buddies how to play this game. And it was really good because I've played before with people who are not generally accustomed to role-playing, and I've taught them D&D. These guys had never seen a role-playing game in their life. And there was that bit of sticker shock when they're like, oh, look at these books, and oh, this character sheet has a lot of numbers. But I had a funny feeling that as soon as I got them past that, and as soon as I got them actually rolling and actually getting into stuff, that they were going to love it. And that has proven to be the case. I already have several members of that group say they want to run games and they want to play games and keep the game that we had started and keep it going. There, one guy basically said, money's not an option. Tell me what I need to run a game. I'm both terrified for the fact that that man has to look at his wife and tell her how much money he just spent on game books. But I'm really excited to see the potential for this because the ministry that Dave's working at down there is so community focused and communal based and relationship based. And he's going to start playing D&D and running D&D games with those guys. I'm super happy to see what comes out of that and super excited just to see that I played role-playing games for the first time in my life joy that is coming out of that crew and the emails that I'm getting from them. So that is what I've been up to. Again, check out all the links that I'm going to post up there. Get involved with all the stuff that's going on. If you want, I'm always looking. I just posted a video at the tavern the other night saying that I'm looking for stories about if this ministry has, you know, what this ministry has meant to you, what this ministry and being a part of this community has done for you. If you want to send that to me, I'd love to hear them. Mike@inroadsministries.com. And you never know. Your story might be the reason that some church down the line opens their doors to people and lets us play games with them. Anyway, I guess I'm going to have to turn it back to these chuckleheads. Hopefully I will be back for the next episode so you get actual Mike instead of future Mike, and hopefully these guys will be actually getting to talk about games pretty soon. Future Mike, out.
And we're back. We are back. That was spectacular. What a wonderful visit from future Mike, being able to talk a little bit about his trip to Little Egg Harbor. I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the Great Gatsby, but we've heard about it.
Well, I will tell you this though. That was this past weekend where they did play, and I've already gotten contacts from the people that he's played with wanting dice.
Making connections. That's what we're all about here at En-ROADS. I'm just going to say it. That's what we're about.
So I was like, you know, I'll help you out. What do you want?
Nice.
So, it's pretty cool.
I've been trolling around the interwebs a little bit because I've had a little bit of extra time not having to play games as much. Or no, I shouldn't say having to. Getting a chance to play some games as much. And I happened upon an article about Geek and Sundry and how it looks like Tabletop Season 4 is going to be moving behind what's kind of colloquially known as the paywall. They're going to be going to a digital channel called Alpha, where there's going to be a subscription involved in order to see the show. I don't know, I've been seeing some mixed reviews about this, or mixed responses. What's your thought about it? I guess in a general.
Well, okay. That's my theory behind it. Okay. They're greedy. They want some more money is what it
let's blunt that enthusiasm a little bit.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, this is now a paywall, so, and we don't know if there's going to be commercials, because I haven't looked at the system itself, the Alpha thing that they're putting it on. But it's like $5 a month. You know, and this is kind of disheartening because of the fans that built up Tabletop. You know, we watched that for a reason. You know, and it was free, and they did a really good job at it. And I understand they might not be making enough money, but I understand how much you get paid from, because, you know, I get YouTube money too. Right. And for every, like, for me, it, because I don't have the more views you get a higher percentage return rate. So if you have 1 million views, you're getting a lot more money than per view than I'm getting for, with my amount of views. Cause like for me, every 100,000 views is like $100. Plus they, on top of that, they've got sponsors, they've got that higher rate and better commercials, and
I mean they have general notoriety as well.
Oh yeah, and everybody knows. We need to learn how to play this game. Let's get on YouTube. Tabletop did it in 30 minutes. We can figure out how to play.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, when I first started recording with Game Store Profits, I would lean on them a little bit because if I needed to jump into a game quickly, okay, I need to learn the ins and outs. I'm going to take some notes, and then I'm going to compare my notes with my after action report after playing the game, and then I bring it to the show. So it was an invaluable tool to be able to use. I was really hoping that they would take, because still within the echelon of Geek and Sundry is the Critical Role players, those who were in Matthew Mercer's game, and they're, you know, I think they're up to episode 63 or something, and wildly popular. They get huge reviews. They're a fantastic squad. I love listening to them play. The way they're doing it with this mix of alpha is that they have what's called an alpha edition, yeah, where they're going to have certain elements are going to be available behind the scenes. I think it's like they have certain lower thirds animations where they show like what happens when somebody gets healed. They show damage results, real-time views of the character sheets, that sort of thing, which I think, you know what, to be able to pay and see some of that add-in enhancement, that's fantastic. That's great. But for the actual game itself, you can still view that on their Twitch channel, and I would assume later on in the YouTube channel as well.
The only thing I watched it for was Tabletop.
Yeah, and believe me, I love Tabletop, but I also love Critical Role. I was just kind of hoping they would go in that direction. Another group that I listen to, and you know, again, you have to kind of be aware of the language that's involved with some of these folks out there on the nets, but ItMeJP has his roleplay series where they have several games that are out there and that are available. But they've gone to Patreon. So they have added enhancements like being involved in the session zero where they're doing character creation. You know, seeing additional behind the scenes where Adam Coble is preparing for a game and getting some DM insight. I think that's fantastic. And they've got the subscription base, they've got the people, supporters in base to make money on this product, but to continue to put out something that's on, you know, Twitch and on YouTube as a free product for the vaster audience that may not have the kind of scrilla to put together for some kind of a subscription every month.
Well, my wife likes to point out, like, why would somebody pay you for something when they get it for free? She doesn't understand Patreon. And so that may be why they didn't do the full Patreon type deal and went straight with Alpha. So,
or maybe even Kickstarter. I would bet you dollars of donuts, just like prior seasons, as soon as they go on Kickstarter, they're going to meet their goals and more, like within 30 minutes or less. And the thing is that you're looking for steady revenue, and subscriptions will do that. It will satisfy that, having set steady revenue, because you can start counting on it in certain aspects. Patreon's a little more willy-nilly, that's for sure. But if you're continuing to put out good product like Geek and Sundry does, like, you know, folks like it at MeJP, that they're going to continue to get money. They're going to continue to get Patreon support if they go in that direction. You know, it remains to be seen. We'll see what the fans say. If they are willing to pay the subscriptions, then that's probably where they're going to stick with. You know, they're going to stick with with this alpha channel. We shall see.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, kind of like in that topic of new games, like how Tabletop will introduce you to some new games here and there, that sort of stuff. I've been kind of branching out in my role-playing arsenal as far as different games to play. I still am owed. I owe you the attendance of being a player, and likewise you owe me the GM responsibilities of getting into Savage Worlds, because I still do want to play Savage Worlds.
You know, and I'm going to run you through it. My experience with role-playing, I started with 2nd, went to 3rd, went to 3.5, went to GURPS, played Deadlands by itself, and a few other things in there. Vampire the Masquerade, Werewolf Apocalypse, all these wonderful things. But then, you know, GURPS got me under the concept of I just need one system.
And then be able to shift that to multiple genres.
Yeah, so I don't have to teach people how to play a new game. You already know right. how to play it. We just changed the theme.
Yeah.
It's like an Android phone.
I totally get that. And especially the way Savage World has been branching out. I did end up getting the Savage Rifts because that was my first one. You guys have already heard that my first game ever was Rifts, the old Palladium version. The brain breaker.
I'll have you running that, system. By the way, soon. You'll when we get done with your Savage Worlds indoctrination, you'll want to run Rifts so bad. You'll be like, I know how to do it. Now we can do it. Anyway.
Hey, man, I'm all on board because I kind of got into this feel of going ultra simple when it came to rules, like super simple, like completely narrative driven. And that's kind of why I went towards the Age of Apocalypse rule set. And I've been playing with Dungeon World for a long time now, at least over a year that I've been really having fun with this system. Getting away from doing the game mastering, I was offered a couple opportunities to play in different games. And so I got exposed to a couple different rule sets. One was Blades in the Dark, and albeit I will admit that that is blended from the same crust as, or same foundations as Apocalypse Now, or Apocalypse World Engine. But then I'm getting an opportunity to play in Fantasy Flight Star Wars, so I'm going to be able to play Edge of the Empire here pretty soon.
That's cool.
Thanks in large part to the Mad Cleric for offering me a slot at his table. I am now going to be able to play Ace Pilot Bullet, spelled B-U-1-1-I-T, and he is a refurbished and repurposed IG-88 assassin droid. Lots of mixes of Futurama and Top Gun in my future.
Hey, well, let me ask you, didn't you set up a game day for the girls of the round table?
Yeah, we're actually, we haven't done the full announcement. They're going to be doing like a media thing, because they do this. They're a lot more professional than I am, that's for sure. It's okay to announce it. Their Friday show, the October 28th show, we're going to be doing a D&D one-shot, you know, that potentially could turn into something larger, but we'll see. We'll stick with one-shot for now. This is actually because of Holly Ann, one of our fans on the Tavern, who wanted to play D&D for the first time, and she lives local to me. So we were going to start putting it together, and then she started talking about, you know, the Ladies of the Round Table, and I made the suggestion, hey, why don't we get a one-shot together? And then we thought, well, when would we do it? Well, I need about a month to prepare, and that landed on October 28th. Well, why don't we do a Halloween special? So
that's neat.
I'm wicked nervous because it's going to be live. I've never done that before. It's so comforting to be able to edit out all my idiocracies that I utter at the microphone. I've got no such cover, my friend. No such cover.
I know there's a lady at the round table that lives like 3 hours from me in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name. She's pretty crazy. I watched her with Mike and them and stuff. So
Yeah. Mike was on the show. That's right.
Being the father of a daughter, I really appreciate everything they do. Especially for STEM. So
yeah, for sure. For sure.
So you know, I've mentioned my thing of where I've become the old fogey and I've set in my ways to where I will only run Savage Worlds now, but you're talking about expanding your arsenal. What's up with that?
Well, simply because I wanted to learn different rules. And I'm like you. I like my thing. And we've had our discussions online about Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds.
Oh yeah.
We have our fun with that.
Fantasy Grounds is the best.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I'll tell this to the fans. Before this recording, I was comparing Fantasy Grounds to a Mercedes S500. It's so gorgeous. It's so beautiful. And then Roll20 is like a trusty Subaru that I can always depend on. And the thing is, for my little pea brain, my little DM brain, I can focus better when I have something nice and simple and dependable. And with Mercedes, I would spend so much time just oohing and awing over the, oh, look at this. Oh, I can do that and I can do this. And then my players are going, Jeff, do we roll something? No. Hang on a second. To that theme, I spend a lot of time in a single system like Dungeon World or a single thing like Roll20. I get happy, I get comfortable, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, we do that in life, that's for sure. Yeah. But yeah, as far as being able to expand my repertoire, want to start next year, I want to be able to offer different games for one-shots. You know, whether it's once a month or once every other month, I would like to get different games out there that maybe folks haven't played. You know, we did the D&D, we did Dungeon World to introduce something new, we did Stars Without Number to introduce something to folks who may not have played it. So next year, I've started kind of building a library of games that I'd like to go through, and so I'm starting to learn those. Edge of the Empire is one. So, again, thanks to the Mad Cleric for teaching me the ropes, and I can't wait to play in this trilogy that's forthcoming. Blades in the Dark is another one that I'd like to try out. Again, it's a derivative, but it's a good system. And then Mutants and Masterminds. Bundle of Holding had a fantastic sale. And I scooped it up.
But this is the thing. What, you've seen they got the Numera stuff up right now.
Or no, yeah, Victoriana, but I've already... The Victoriana, yeah. That's how we actually started the Inroads Plays thing.
And I was sitting there like, man, that seems pretty cool, but if I really want a steampunkish setting, I've got Deadlands. I've got Rippers.
Yeah, you got Deadlands, you got Rippers.
then yeah, for Rippers, I could go into the Weird Wars, Weird War One and Weird War Two. And that's the thing about the Savage Worlds is that you can almost integrate their worlds together.
Yeah,
I mean, just because when you have no new rules, you have to learn, and you know, you might just have to fudge some lines of story here and there, and you've got it. Like and it's pretty cool. I mean, it's just my thing.
So you know, you could be in the middle of the West and all of a sudden Megatron shows up, right?
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and then there's
trademark
such a,
Hasbro.
There's such a great following of Savage Worlds that there's a lot of custom stuff.
Absolutely.
And so like I think the latest one I downloaded, which is free, was Savage Fallout.
Oh, no kidding. Did they do that?
Somebody did that. And I always talk about the Savage Ravenloft, too, that somebody created Savage Ravenloft. This guy built a 250-page document on Ravenloft and Savage World. Beautiful. I mean, you would thought that this was getting ready to be published. And I wish somehow they would get the licensing, because I would love a physical copy of this book.
Sure.
But I mean, he did a great job on it, and so like, you know, I've got all these different things, and I don't have to learn. I can spend more time on soaking up the story and creating the story, and not having to worry about the rules because I already know the rules. And that's why. I mean, about the only other game system I might, you know, switch over to play would probably be Pathfinder, because I kind of like
that's a big switch over though. Because Savage Worlds. Well, it's not exceedingly simple. It's a lot simpler than Pathfinder.
Well, yeah, yeah. And like, with Pathfinder, though, the thing about Pathfinder is it's 3.5. Play 3.5. And, yeah, and sure. the concept of the Pathfinder Society stuff intrigues me. If I could figure out how to run that inside of Fantasy Grounds, I would throw up a Pathfinder Society game for the tavern and have people in that if they were interested. But I just... There's a lot of bells and whistles when it comes to Math Grinder.
You are not kidding. And the copious amounts of derivatives that are out there. Like, yeah. You can be a barbarian, but you can have 37 different derivations of that, right? What kind of one?
And I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't purchased that, what's that? No More Evil or something from Monty Cook. The kids can play Savage Worlds.
Right.
You know, and I'm starting to play around with Twerps now, which is kind of like the world's easiest role-playing system. It's a generic role-playing system with one die. I mean...
Can't get much simpler than that's for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't see having to spend all that energy learning all those new rules over and over again when you got something that works.
Well, I think I totally hear where you're coming from. That's why I settled on Dungeon World for so long, because I can actually create an entire world and campaign in Dungeon World, and I could do that with the players. That's why I totally love it, because it's a consensual hallucination for everybody, and we just contribute to the world and build it as we go. But with learning different rules, it's kind of an interesting way to get myself out of my own way and get myself into a different, out of my comfort zone, yeah. To be honest. To get myself out of the comfort zone, that's really why I wanted to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it's, I mean, to me, if I was you, probably the reason why I would do that would be the artwork and some of the books and maybe some of the lore, but you can always learn the lore outside of that. That's just my opinion. I'm gonna complain and gripe about that the entire time. So.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. You were talking about doing the Pathfinder Society. How come not? Are you not as big a fan of 5e to do the Adventure League on that side? Not a knock against it.
I think about a year ago we discussed the Adventure League, and why I didn't like it is because they were trying to make it a pay system.
I've had,
I'll tell you this, 4th edition just burnt me on Wizards products. And you know, even with Magic the Gathering, man, I used to play that game so much. But with tournament rules that your cards can't be so many versions back to play in that, I just don't play because if I take my deck, I mean, I like to play for fun. If I was to take my deck to the comic shop, they'd be like, well, that's not legal. You can't play.
That makes sense.
And I'll whip your butt that way.
And that brings up a good reminder of that conversation we had a little ways back. That's very true.
I can't stand that. I mean, it's just, you know, when I buy something, I want it to last forever.
Right.
Or until it falls apart. So that's one of the things when I say, like, first edition Dungeons & Dragons, that thing still works. It's still playable. Yeah. There's hundreds of people that still play it.
there's like a dozen people who still play that game. Matt Cleric looking at you.
Yeah, well, I've got a buddy who took me up with the books. And eventually, one day, I want those books because I want to try to run a game,
right.
Jason Wood. You know, I want to try to run a first edition game just to say I can and that I have because I never played first edition. It was second edition. And I don't want to go back to that mess either. But it's just, you know, the whole thing with editions, I think that frustrates me a little bit too. So I can gripe all day long about it. It's like, what happened to
second? And it's not a bad gripe at all, right? Because when it goes to the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You're having a good time with these rules, and this is the rules that you settled on, and this is what I want.
They come out with a Ratafors.
Yeah. But we're often asked to do that, right? And I think we're kind of like creeping our way towards a topic about stepping out of our comfort zones. But
I know.
I think that's kind of why I'm pushing myself towards these different rules, is to try and learn a little bit something different. Because in addition to that, I can also get exposed to other players. You know, somebody who may never, ever go back to 4th edition D&D. Or somebody who would never, ever play a sci-fi game. You know, I would never be involved with that if it weren't for the fact that I tried to play it. And then get involved with different people who would want to play those kinds of games. So I get to know different folks. And what's your stance on comfort zones? When it comes to everyday life,
I mean, I don't stay in my comfort zone at all, and it kills my wife. She can't stand it. I talk to everybody. I'll start a conversation with everybody. I mean, we'll be driving down the road, and like, say we're driving downtown. I'll have my windows rolled down. I'll see somebody I'm like, "Hey, man!" Just wave to them. They don't even know me, and they just wave back. And I mean, that's the way I was raised. The people in my mom's neighborhood, they know my parents, so they obviously already know me. So I could be driving through a neighborhood, and I got people I've never seen before waving at me and just saying, hey, and I just wave back and keep driving. I'm trying to teach my kids that you don't stay inward, you go outward. You know, that's part of being you. You've got to spill out upon other people. Send it back. But, but I mean, you know, that's how you make connections with people. You know, I mean, if you stay holed up in yourself, you're not going to make friends. And once you get out of that concept of being in a school setting to where you're forced to make friends because school's out of your comfort zone, a lot of people don't make friends. They sit at home and play video games all the time and count their online friends as friends. And you still, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. because those friends are friends too. Because if you look at me and Jeff, we've never met in real life, and we're brothers. You know, I consider us brothers, but like, you know, you've got to have those close people in your space, your physical space that can be close, because there's going to be times you're going to need to be comforted, and they're going to be able to put that the hand on your shoulder. There's times you're going to need someone to laugh with, and they're going to be there cracking jokes with you. And you have to have that. And if you don't step out of that comfort zone, you can't make that friend.
You know, and I totally agree. There's something about that physical contact. And we've done that before where we've compared being online and having conversations and playing games online versus, you know, playing in person. And it's like that also with the different levels of, I don't want to say levels, that might not be an appropriate metaphor, but there's different aspects to friendships when it's online versus in person. And like you said, having that physical touch is an important thing. Being able to be in that same space is an important thing. And for some, it's about getting out of that comfort zone, about trying to say, you know what, I am going to go out and I'm going to meet somebody new. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do something completely different. You know, if you were going to ask me 6 years ago that I would be teaching children, you know, Bible study, I would have said, you're crazy. Because I spend most of my time thinking kids are too loud and they need to be quiet. And they need to, you know, get out of my face.
Get out of my yard.
Get out of my yard, you dang kids. I'm telling you.
As my daughter says, get off my Minecraft server.
There you go. So I've had a 360 from that. You know, the person who was recruiting for the position said, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And I said, you're crazy. I don't want to learn those types of rules. I don't want to play that kind of game. I don't want to deal with kids. And here I am having the time of my life every Monday night.
Let me tell you my Monday nights, because if you know me outside of here, I'm grumpy. I'm a grumpy old man, as my kids put it. You know, they know I love them, but I get grumpy. And I'll tell you, one of my comfort zone issues, when I run a game day, I am a wreck. I am completely and utterly a wreck when I run a game day, because I am so friggin' nervous that I want everybody to be special. But anyway, so what I've done is I signed my son up for Cub Scouts. And okay. Because I was a Boy Scout, and I want him to have that. I want him to go from bottom to the top. I didn't get to go to the top, you know, because I got a job and I had to quit. And, but I want him to experience that. So, like, this year, they're like, well, since you're now a Cub leader, we need a leader, and nobody stepped up to the plate. And I was like, I'll do it. And so now I'm dealing with 8 6-year-old boys, and it's given me something that I've never had before. Patience. Patience. Yes. Now, just a month in, I have so much patience. And I'll give you an example of how that has reverbed in my life just recently. Sunday, or is it a Sunday or Monday? Or it was Sunday. My daughter comes into the house, smile, big old smile on her face. Dad, I was like, yes, darling. Andrew knocked a golf ball into the garage window and shattered it. And I was like, I get up and I walk outside, and my son was in the neighbor's yard, and him and his little buddy was peering over their fence. They climbed the 6-foot fence looking over, and his buddy's like, we're sorry, we didn't mean to do that. And I looked at the hole, it's a $3 piece of glass, and I'm just like, you know, I've just gotten that room, started setting it up for my game room, because my wife's pushed me out into the garage. And I was like, I looked at it, I said, it's fine, guys. It's just a $3 piece of glass. Go on, have some fun. Just don't hit it towards the house. And my daughter looked at me and she said, if that had been me, you would have yelled at me. I was like, well, I would also have said that you know not to hit golf balls towards the house.
And I don't know I don't know how them youngins have been raised.
And she's like, but I was like, Isabel, you're 11, he's 6. You know, and I've learned in that patience that I never really got to develop now for little kids. And I'm not a bad dad, guys. I mean, it's just, I grew up with a person that had a short fuse, and I've developed a short fuse, and I have to, a lot of times people don't realize that I have to step away. And my wife knows this. I sometimes have to step away. And I do that because I love my family. So, but anyway, but that, yeah, I didn't mean to go that far deep into it, but me getting out of my comfort zone now has got me to a point where I now have more patience than I had before, and my fuse gained an inch.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know what God is going to do with us when we step out of that comfort zone, because you can't do God's work when you're in your comfort zone. You have to get uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's one of the reasons that I'm doing this Halloween thing. That's one of the reasons I'm trying to learn different games. And it's one of the reasons I wound up teaching kids. I mean, it's, I don't know the kinds of things the Lord's going to try and develop in me, right? We never know. Until that moment when we would have done one thing in the past, but now, months or years later, we do something completely different in a reaction to the same thing, like a golf ball going through the glass of your brand new game room.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just a $3 piece of glass. I just got to pop the glass out and put a new pane of glass in.
No big deal.
Yeah, the hardest part's getting the guy that blows to cut it in the right size, and they never do that. So.
Well, now you have the opportunity to get a professional pane of glass made that has your initials in it or something. You know, it could look just completely awesome.
No.
All the opportunities that unfold before you.
Nah, I could just now 3D print me a little fan to go right there now.
I was just about to say that. You can 3D print some glass art.
No, I can do the glass, but I could possibly build me a contraption to go in that hole now to where I can have a little fan to blow some air in and let it circulate. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, it's just... And I didn't mean to hijack our conversation there, but it's just... No,
that's just where it's going, man.
I mean, we always talk about that comfort zone. We do. And it's because nobody wants to get out of their comfort zone, period. And it's so hard to get people to do that. Like, I've got a game day. And I've been uncomfortable. That's why I haven't started advertising for it yet. Because it's at my church, and I'm like, what do these people want to think about me? But then they're going to be like, why am I going to church to play board games? And so they're going to be getting out of their comfort zone to come visit me while I play games with their kids and I have my minions going about playing games with them. And it's just, you know, that's just something we've got to do. I mean, you know, we've got to step out, guys. It's very important. That's why we do what we do. That's why me and Mike and Jeff, we do this gaming thing. That's why we do this podcast. It's so we can better equip you guys so you can go out there and be out of your comfort zone and be a light. Because, you know, it talks, I ain't going to quote verses, but it says, if you put your light under a bushel, it's not going to shine. If you stay holed up in your house, how can you shine out in the world? I mean, you can sit on Reddit and Facebook and argue with people, but that ain't what Christ wanted us to do.
That's for sure, 100%.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where I think we're going with this, is the whole idea of a comfort zone. Whether it's Geek & Sundry is making a certain corporate decision that's going to kind of transition their fans out of a certain level of comfort, whether it's being able to watch it for free on YouTube or maybe having to pay a subscription rate, that sort of thing. The path that's laid before us is usually built from the stones of the things that are behind us. You know, if we've decided that we're going to only do one thing and only one way and in only one time, then our path is going to be pretty narrow. We're not going to have a lot of options out there. We're not going to have a lot of opportunities out there, whether it's to meet new people or to have something completely brand new and exciting happen in your life. New jobs, new friends, new places to live, or new horizons to be explored. That's what it's all about. And like you said, Daniel, you hit it right on the head. The very heart of what we do in this adventure of En-ROADS is getting people to come together in a communal sense, you know, where we're playing games, we're learning rules together. And when you learn together, you grow together. And when you play together, you grow together. That's what it's all about. That's exactly what I think. It's awesome that you have this outlet with Savage Worlds and the idea that you can feel solid with the rules, but then you can branch out with You can do Rifts. You could do Fantasy. You could do, come into a game board near you, Fallout. All of these different opportunities for you. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And that's the same reason I'm trying to learn different rule sets, is to try and expand the possibility of folks being interested. Maybe somebody finds out, oh, you're going to play this game? I've always wanted to play it. And it's in an environment that's not scary, and we can be online, or we can, you know, do video chat, whatever you want to do. Comfort zones. That's an important thing to enjoy, but step out of from time to time. That's for
sure. Your comfort zone's there for you to recharge, basically.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I think this is where Mike would start trying to tie it back in.
Mike, why don't you tie it back in? No, he's already talked. That was future Mike. And the best Mike is future Mike. Although I like live Mike as well. That's also pretty awesome, too.
Oh, man, we're getting fired.
We're so fired. Oh, my gosh. We're totally out of our comfort zone.
We can finally
zone.
Open our podcast to talk about recipes.
There you go. Next episode, fried okra and how it means more to you than your D20. No, not at all. Not at all. So what kind of, you were talking about this game day that's coming up. So let's, do you want to throw some information out there?
It's going to be at Uplift Church in Weber City on the 22nd. I plan to start at around 3 or 4 and let them go to whenever they just get eh. I'm going to tell them to bring their own games if they got games that they want to share with people. I'm going to bring the standards. I'm going to bring some zombies, some Catans, Catan Jr. I'm going to bring Ultimate Werewolf. Kids love that Ultimate Werewolf. Oh my goodness, you don't really have Castle Panic, Pandemic. I think we will be bringing out the Wits and Wagers this time. Ticket to Ride. Maybe Car Casserone. And I'm thinking Apples to Apples, maybe. I've got some kids games that we can throw out. If y'all hear me stretching my neck, I'm turning around and looking at my game rack back here. We've got kids games. I've got Robot Turtles. That's a really interesting game for little kids to help them think through logic. You know, they love that. Then and my whole trip to Gen Con was for the little kids' games. I've got Animal Upon Animal. I got Chicky Boom, which is now my new favorite little kids' game. We've got Pinkaloo, which means you get to like take the these penguins and you got to match the colors when you roll on your dice.
Hang on one second. How big a truck are you going to be bringing to get to this game day?
I have a minivan, man. Okay. I'm good. And then
keep listening.
Oh man, this game here, I played it with my son. I saw it last year at Gen Con. I had to buy it this year. We should play this game on, if it's on virtual or tabletop simulator. It's called Battle Sheep.
I'm already sold. It has battle and it has sheep.
Okay,
two things that I
so
love.
It's got a hex board and you lay it out piece by piece. So you can have openings and stuff in it. So you stack all these sheep colors up on tokens all together. And what your job is to keep the other sheep from infiltrating your pasture.
Okay.
So, now, if all the sheep are stacked up, that's considered one sheep. But if you move forward one spot, you have to leave at least one sheep behind. Okay? And he can't move anymore. But now you have two sheep. So whoever has the most sheep at the end of the game wins. But the game only ends when one set of sheep can't move anywhere else. So you're shooting your pieces down to block the other sheep from expanding. And it's a four-player game. I played this with my son, and it's intense. It is insane. So I'll probably bring that game out, too. It's a pretty fun game. And then a game that has yet to be released yet, and I have a copy of it, Tada from Cool Mini or Not. They were selling it. So I handed that off to one of my buddies. He's one of my minions, Andrew. He's in the tavern as well. I said, here, you need to learn this new game because you're going to run it on the 22nd.
Because this is going to be your baby.
I said, well, he's usually my Pandemic guy, but I also got another guy that likes Pandemic, and I'm going to let him run Pandemic while he runs Tada. And he's like, that's cool. And this is the funny part about this. He's like, that's cool. I'll get online and see how to play it. Not if Geek and Sundry did the video.
I'm going to challenge you right now, Daniel. I'm going to challenge you right now because of the enthusiasm that you have in your voice.
You know what? Wait. There's the
surety that you have in your voice. Not that. You know where I'm going, but you're going to let me finish. I think you've got more confidence than you think. I think you're actually not too far out of your comfort zone in doing this.
Well, it's when I get there, I'll be fine. It's just getting there because my problem is I'll have people that promise to be there and they won't show up. I mean, and I'm talking about my guys, the guys that are going to run the games. So here I'll be jumping back and forth trying to take care of these kids and then trying to get these adults games learned. My minions will have to split themselves between different games and
work out.
No, yeah, it's just going to be insane.
It'll all work out.
I need
Are you there so you can be more popular, Daniel?
No. I'm the biggest nerd in church. They know that. people dread seeing me. They really don't. But I will
stop that. You stop that talk right now. But that's the thing with comfort zones is that the quickest ways to get out of them is to find out the intention of your heart. How are you going to proceed out in this way? Why are you learning how to do this? Is it to better yourself? Is it to perhaps enhance somebody else's life? And when you're focused more on those kinds of things, you're focused on your intentionality. It makes stepping out of that comfort zone a lot easier. And I think with you focused on the kind of joy that you're going to bring on this game night and the potential of going on and on and on and on, that's just great. That's a fantastic motivation. I'm going to say that you're going to do fantastic work. And we're going to have another podcast before you actually commit to the game, right? Or to the game day, right?
I think so. In 2 weeks. I'll be at Disney next week.
And then in 2 weeks, we're going to be able to have you back. Yeah. So we're going to have one more episode before we go in there. So I'm sure we'll have more information about the pending game day. Well, I want to say that without Mike here, we may want to go ahead and bring it to a close because I'm sure he was able to add in some good information for us. As future Mike, the heart of this episode is comfort zones, right? That's where we're at. Is how comfortable are you with the things that you're doing, and then are you missing out on stuff because maybe you're either afraid, unwilling, or a mixture of both, to unwilling to step out of that comfort zone. And whether it means that you're playing a different game with somebody, or if it means that you're meeting new friends or saying hi to a total stranger on the side of the road, that might be Daniel that's waving at you, so you never know. Take an opportunity here and there to try something new, to go on to that adventure, find out what can possibly happen. That'd be Uncle Jeff's advice to you. That'd be our advice to you, is to try something new. So, how can people learn a little bit more about you, Dan?
If you wonder if your die is balanced right, I'll be there.
You're going to sing, aren't you?
Again, you can email address is daniel.l.fisher@gmail.com. You can get me on Facebook. Just look at Daniel Fisher. I'm the guy with the symbol of the eternal evil. As my, it's upside down money. You'll get the joke if you watch the video, folks. Because, yeah, you're just gonna watch the video, and then you can also reach me at. That's about it. Twitter. I got Twitters, but I can't remember. It's like Daniel L. Fisher 4 or something like that. But you can just get me on Facebook.
Yeah, you've been doing a spectacular time being the master of ceremonies. As people come in, you've been able to go in there and you've been able to introduce people and make them feel welcome. So look forward to a greeting from Senor Daniel Fisher whenever.
Well, I've been slacking these last few days.
Are you serious?
No, and what I mean by slacking is all like, hey, everybody, welcome so-and-so. And like before then, I was like, hey, everybody, welcome so-and-so. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And all of a sudden, blah, blah, blah. And then we get in this big conversation. Well,
here's the trick. Is that you were typing this stuff, so we didn't know the inference. But now that you've actually said it, all I'm going to hear is, hey, everybody, welcome so-and-so to the tavern. Isn't it great?
guys,
no, that's not how we do it. That's
people
not how
that
we do
have
it.
Showed up into the tavern this past week, I do apologize. I haven't put as much emphasis on your stuff. I've been a little bit busy at work. And sometimes I catch this from my phone, so I don't like texting on my phone anymore. It's typing stuff
I need to jump in there and like get my head out of my 9 to 10 hour workday and just say, hey, what's going on here? Who's coming into this tavern?
Yeah.
Who needs to be said hello to? So that's why sometimes when you guys are coming into the tavern and you get a wacky greeting from me, that's because my brain is probably scrambled eggs by that time. So just to let you know, so sometimes I'll say, hey, slippers on the right or bola Doritos served at 11:25, that sort of thing. You never know. Never know. All right. So, for me, you can always find me on the tavern post here and there. If you have any questions, you can always just post up in there and just bold my name and I'll find you. You can also follow me on Twitter at GSPKHEEGAN, GSP Keegan, and check out our YouTube channel. You can find all of this information through our En-ROADS website, enroadsministries.com. And I would like to turn it over to Daniel because he knows how to close this thing out.
You know, guys, we always need to remember that God is the game master, and no matter how the dice rolls, the game must go on.